book of Isaiah, chapter number 5. Isaiah, chapter number 5. And I'd like to read verse 20 for our text this morning. Isaiah, chapter 5, and verse number 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Father, we thank you today that we have an opportunity that we can come and assemble in thy house, that this morning, Lord, we can sing your songs of hope and praise and worship. We thank you today, dear Lord, that we can open up your word and receive your revelation. We ask you now, Lord, that you might take this word today. You might put it into our hearts. You might guide us and direct us by your word. Give thy servant the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, Lord, we pray that as our word goes out, that it might meet thy blessings. And let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be right in thy sight. In Jesus' name, amen. When I pastored another church, there used to be a lady in the church would occasionally make me an old-fashioned banana pudding. And she'd always slip it in the pulpit during the Sunday school hour with a little note, short sermon today. So one Sunday, sure enough, there was the banana pudding, and I took it home and eat it, and I thought, whew. But I tried to eat it anyway, and about 2 or 3 weeks later, she said, that banana pudding I make you taste all right? I said, well, I didn't want to offend her, and I said, yeah, it was okay. She said, well, I made another one. It didn't taste too good. She said, I'd run out of vanilla extract, and I used lemon extract instead. Our text verse this morning says that some people use bitter for sweet. I think that was an occasion of that this morning. But here in our text, the prophet Isaiah is speaking to the people of his day, and he says that people call evil good and good evil. I guess one of the last long conversations I had with Brother Tommy Whaley, he came by my house one day, and we were talking, and we were talking about this verse, and Brother Tommy said, I wonder sometimes why it's wrong to do right. Why is it wrong to do right? But that's the society in which you and I are living this morning. It's accurately depicted and described here for us in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 5. I know that many people have used this particular chapter and said, is America in prophecy? Well, I don't know if America is in prophecy. We'll talk about that later. That's not this sermon. But certainly today we find the principles that God lays out here in Isaiah chapter 5 are principles that we could notice in our own time and our own age this morning. The prophet begins with a song about the Lord's vineyard. He says, now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it. Also made a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes. You see, we find here that here is the Lord preparing the vineyard. We find today that God here, as he prepares this vineyard and makes it a wonderful, beautiful place this morning. And it's here talking about the blessings of God. How that God brought his richest and greatest blessings this morning. And we need to look around sometime and see how that we have been blessed by the Lord today. And see the blessings of God in our nation. But here God is speaking to the nation of Israel and the people of the land of Judah. And he said that I had a vineyard and I fenced it off. I protected it and I gathered the stones thereof. He removed all of the stones that would hinder the growth of the vineyard vines and planted it with the choicest vine. Oh, this morning we find here that God had prepared this vineyard and his blessings were abundantly upon it this morning. But then you see the poisoning of the vineyard. Because here the prophet says, and it brought forth wild grapes. It brought forth wild grapes. Now God had planted it with the choicest of vines. But we find that the Bible says that it brought forth wild grapes. It brought forth that God did not intend for it to bring forth. And it was poisoned by the wild seed. It was poisoned today by the wild vines. And God is speaking this morning, and he's showing us this morning that all of his blessings are still left for us to choose today. And he said in verse number 5, and now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my great vineyard. What could have done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Therefore, when I looked at it, should bring forth grapes, though it brought forth wild grapes. God says, what else could I have done? I've done everything that I could possibly do. You know, God's done everything he can possibly do this morning. He has this morning sent his son to be our Savior. He has sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. He has sent this morning Jesus Christ to give us eternal life. He has this morning given us his word and his revelation about Jesus and about himself down through the ages. He has protected it and preserved it that we might have it to this very day. He has sent the Holy Spirit into the world this morning to bring convicting power of his message. He has sent men forth and churches forth this morning to declare the gospel of the Son of God with power this morning. What more could God have done today? That's a good question, isn't it? God says, what more could I have done? But then you see the judgment of the vineyard. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. And it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns, and I will also command the clouds that they had no rain upon it. You see, God brings destruction. This morning Israel thought they were strong and mighty. They thought they'd made alliances with those heathen nations around them. They thought this morning that they could be preserved in safety today. And as you read through the prophet Isaiah and the prophet Jeremiah, you read through 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles and you see some of the alliances that they made and some of the agreements they made, and they thought they would be well protected. But as God says in the book of Psalms this morning, a horse is a vain thing to trust in the day of a battle. Because you see this morning, it doesn't matter the alliances, it doesn't matter this morning who we have made a confederacy with this morning or a pact with today. Understand this, God's still in charge and he's still in control. And as he told this nation of Israel this morning, I will break it down. I'll take care of it. I, the Lord, have done what I'm going to do. In the book of Amos, chapter number 4, I believe it is, we find there that Amos, the prophet of God, and as he begins to detail to the nation of Israel what God had done for them and how that he had sent messengers and he had sent floods and earthquakes and famines and many other things upon them to turn them back to God, yet they hadn't turned to God. And then God said, now I'm coming myself. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Sometimes I think if that's what God is saying once again here through the prophet Isaiah. You know, this morning we better be careful because God this morning can bring destruction at any time and any hour upon our country. And all the protection and all the alliances we've made, won't make a bit of difference this morning. The song is followed by six woes this morning. And when you see the word woe in the scripture today, it means a sign of sorrow and indignation, grief and indignation this morning. It means that God is hurt and God is angered. God is hurt. It hurt him that this nation that he had so abundantly blessed and that he had so abundantly provided for had turned against him and sowed wild grapes. But not only was he hurt and in great sorrow, but he was angered by it. Sometimes we don't think about the judgment of God and the anger of God. We hear so much this morning about grace and love and mercy. And I'm so glad of that today. But understand this, God is a God of holiness. And he sometimes becomes a God of indignation today. He becomes a God that brings judgment today. And woe, the prophet Isaiah says here. You see, our nation has been blessed by God. I don't think any human being that could ever live could deny that statement, but yet many do. This nation was blessed by God this morning. But as I look around today, I'm reminded of the words of that great liberator, Douglas MacArthur, when he said that history fails to record a single precedent in which nations subject to moral decay have not passed into political and economic decline. We certainly look around our nation today and we have passed into moral decay. And because we're in moral decay this morning, we have a political and economical decline. We're in a mess, to put it very bluntly today. This nation is in a mess. We have people leading us that have no idea where to go or what to do. They have no idea today. It's just such a mess. MacArthur went on to say, there has either been a spiritual awakening to overcome the moral lapse or a progressive deterioration leading to the ultimate national disaster. You know what he's saying? Unless God is put back in our life and into our nation today, we're headed for national disaster. National disaster. Why? Because we call evil good and good evil today. C.S. Lewis, the writer of yesteryear, said, moral collapse always follows spiritual collapse. As you look into this book of Isaiah chapter number 5, you find that it all begins this morning with a rejection of God and his word. In verse 24, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of the host and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel, therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people. Why was his anger kindled? Why is God in indignation this morning? Why is God hurt and angered today? Because we have rejected his word. You know, sometimes we reject the word of men. I remember several years ago I was working at this place and they brought an automobile in to be repaired and nobody couldn't figure out what was the matter with it. And finally they called the best mechanic they had over and he walked over and looked at it and he told them what was the matter with it. And they said, oh, that's not what's the matter with it. He turned around and said, why'd you ask me for it? And walked off. Kind of made him mad. You ever thought about this? God's the architect of this universe. He's the creator of you and I. He knows it, everything about it. And yet today he can tell us so many things. You know, the Bible today is full of so many things today that we just reject. But we look everywhere else and tell God that's not the problem. That's why he's hurt today. We have rejected his word today. And when you reject his word, you're rejecting him. You see, everything this morning begins and ends with this very simple thing. Every moral decay and spiritual decline will begin when the teachings, the commandments, the promises, and the declaration of the Word of God is rejected. We have rejected God's teaching on marriage. That's why most of our marriages, and many of our marriages, I won't say most of them, but that's why many marriages are in trouble today. We have rejected God's teaching on marriage. We have rejected God's teaching on morals. We have rejected God's teaching about crime and corruption and so many other things today. And that's why today that the Word of God, that's why they do not want the Bible put into our schools. They do not want children to understand the commandments, the teachings, the doctrines of God's Word today. There was a time in this nation when we were governed by the Word of God, by the morals and the commandments and the teachings. Somebody says you can't legislate morality. Well, they legislate it every day. They say it's wrong to steal. It's wrong to bear false witness. You can't be a perjurer. It's wrong to murder. That's morality. We could go into many other things today. Listen to me. We have rejected God's teaching today. And we're no longer governed by the moral standards of the Word of God. They want the Bible removed from every aspect of our lives. The government today, they don't want any mention of the word God in government. And the sad thing today is it's been removed from many of our churches today. We went through the sexual revolution of the 60s and the 70s, and to be honest with you, today this morning living in a cesspool of sin and grime and dirt and vice today. Violence is rampant in our land. And we hear so much hypocritical talk coming from our politicians and from our leaders today. You know, one of the things that's always on the tip of every person that you read in the newspaper about, and at least once a day and maybe several articles in the local newspaper and many times on the local TV news, will be how that we need to adequately fund education. How that we need to make sure that we have enough money to educate our children. I'm not against educating our children. Please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. I have nothing wrong with adequately funding an education for our children. Yet then I'll read that two local high schools right here in our area, one in Starkville, one in Tupelo, spent nearly $2 million each to put artificial turf on their football field, but they can't buy books for the kids. Now, tell me, where we at? Think about it. $2 million to put, I wish I was in the turf business. $2 million. For a high school football field. When I played high school football, we played in the pasture. Had barbed wire fence on the other side. If you don't believe me, I can show you a picture of it. I got caught up in it a time or two because they pushed me that far out of the line. Hey, listen to me. But we can't fund education. last week, for some reason, I just made a note of something, and I read that there were 10 athletes. It might have been more, but I know there were at least 10 athletes this week in the paper for criminal behavior. Criminal behavior. But yet, what do? Read about a man with a 17-month-old baby. He's not married, but he's living with the mother. But yet, that's okay. You see, we've tossed all of God's standards plumb out of the way. We don't have any moral standards anymore. Tony Dungy, the former coach of the Indianapolis Colts, was asked, would he have drafted Sam out and proud? And he said no. Now he's been called the worst person on the face of the earth for that. You see, this morning we have rejected God and His Word. And that's where it all begins. And when it began this great, I hate to call it progression because it's not progressing, it's really degression, but we followed that line and it just went further and further and further this morning. You know, the psalmist said, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. That's where it begins, when we got God's word in our heart that we won't sin against God. Somebody said, well, the Bible is antiquated. It's not really true. It's not really the word of God. It can't be proven. Well, sometimes I would like to be like old Billy Sunday, great evangelist of yesteryear. And one time he was preaching and this man jumped up and began to deride the Bible and say that it wasn't true and it was just a bunch of falsehoods and tables and fables that had been pieced together. And old Billy called him up to the front and he said, if I can prove to you right now that the word of God is true, will you accept it? He said, I sure will. And he jumped off the platform, grabbed him by the nose and twisted it till his nose began to bleed. And he said, Proverbs said, the wringing of the nose bringeth blood. We rejected it, haven't we, this morning? You ever thought about the first Thanksgiving we had in this nation? I'm not preaching on Thanksgiving today, but maybe we should, but the first Thanksgiving was giving thanks to God for allowing them to come to a nation, come to a country, and providing and protecting and getting them through that first year. And they gathered together and give thanks to God. You look at the woes that Isaiah brings here real quickly in verse number 80. Talks about greed. We live in a greedy society. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field till there is be no place. He's just talking about people that just grabbing and grabbing and grabbing and grabbing. Greed, 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 greed. Verse number 11, he says, woe to them that rise up early in the morning, that they may fall a strong drink and continue on tonight till the wine inflame them and the harp and the viol and so forth. Pleasure. We're a generation of pleasure seekers, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Verse number 18, he said, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as if it were a cart rope. We promote sin. We just pull it out front for everybody to see. Somebody said the law can do three things. It can either prohibit, permit, or promote. And we're promoting sin today. We're dragging it out front and promoting it. Verse number 20 said that, as we've talked about today, the calling evil good. Verse 21, he said, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Pride. Well, we lifted up with pride, aren't we? Look who we are. verse 22. He said, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength that mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Power. We just want power. We want to tell you what to do and how to do it and when to do it. But then you see the removal of God's blessings. And when God's blessing is removed, what happens? Well, it becomes hell on earth. Just to be fair with you today, and I'm not cussing. I'm just telling you, when God's blessings are removed, when God says, I've had enough, I'm moving out. I saw a cartoon one time, and I'm not making fun, it's not really funny, but it was somewhat accurately true. It was talking about the shootings in Sandy Hook School and Columbine, Colorado, and somebody had wrote a question and said, where was God? And somebody wrote down under it, they kicked him out. Now think about it. God's blessings are being removed. And if you don't believe in hell on earth, and I'm not talking about I believe in a literal hell, and I don't have time to deal with it. That's here in the book of Isaiah 5:2. But I want to tell you, you go into some of these inner cities. You go to Memphis, Tennessee, and get in the wrong part of town. And you know why? Because God's blessings are removed. God's been removed. And we're living in a safe, but I'm going to tell you, it's getting worse and worse, folks. I don't know how much longer it's going to be, but we're going to be right in the middle of it. You think about it this morning. I want to close by reading something that very, very powerful. A man by the name of Joe Wright was asked to come and open the Kansas Senate with a prayer. And everybody was expecting him to simply use the same generalities, but this is what he prayed. Heavenly Father, we come today to ask you to ask your forgiveness and seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe unto them that call evil good, but that's exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and inverted our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it an alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it casinos and lotteries. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected the discipline of our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Try us and see if there be some wicked way in us. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent here by the people of this state and who have been ordained by you to govern this great state of Kansas. Grant them your wisdom to rule, and may their decisions direct us to the center of your will. I ask in the name of your Son, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Many of the legislators walked out in protest. But in 6 weeks, the church which he pastored logged more than 5,000 phone calls and only 47 were negative. This morning we are living in a time when people are calling evil good and good evil. Yet there are still people who are willing to stand for Jesus. Are we willing to stand for Jesus this morning? That's the question I have to leave with you. And why is it wrong to do right. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Boothby and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. I ask you to take this very simple message, use thine honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.